Alrighty, well, good morning. Alright, so we're going to be in Hebrews this morning. Hebrews chapter 10, but let's pray first. Father God, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity to live in America. I know that I say that almost every Sunday, but I truly do believe that. And I believe that you have blessed our country, even though we have massively failed you. And it seems our country is now just driven by the evil one. Sin is just running everywhere. And Lord, we ask you to forgive us of our sins. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Forgive us of our sins, Lord, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, I just pray for America that we would have maybe a one last day's revival. And we know that starts in the house of God. It starts with us. It starts with Christian believers repenting of our sins and asking you to forgive us. Help us serve you. I pray for our missionaries and our military around the country. Lord, thank you for getting everyone back safe from their travels of visiting family. And Lord, we pray for the ones that are still sick, the ones that are on the back of our bulletin. We have lots of folks that are not feeling well, and we ask that you help them, give them what they need. Lord, you know what we all need before we even ask. So we just continue to trust you. Help me this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody said amen? Amen. Amen. So, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. 24 and 25. And it says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Amen? Now, we know what that means, right? When the day is approaching, and we all can, we can tell if you just watch a little tiny bit of the news, or if you know what's going on in the world. I believe, and I know that we are living in what they call the last days. And so much more we need to fellowship and be with each other, especially during this time. This message is, I call it, the three homes. The three homes, okay? Did you know that everyone needs and should have three homes? Okay? Three homes. Everybody needs a heavenly home. We need a church home. And we need a family home. And Jesus Christ is the key to all three of these homes. We all know that. And I want to make a point here, and I hope I don't offend anyone. If I do, just please keep coming back. Amen? But being a loner is not God's plan for our life. Now, if you're an introvert, okay, if you're an introvert and you like being by yourself, that's okay. There's nothing entirely wrong with that. That's probably how God made you. Okay? However, everybody say however. However. Thank you. God created the family. We must trust God regarding joining a family and then getting involved in a family. So today we're going to talk about the three homes. Why is family so important? Now, we qualify this little statement here. If we have a godly family, okay, the reason family is so important, and if we have a godly family, we will experience the deepest love that we possibly can on this earth. I believe that. The family is also the training ground for our life. It's God's workshop so that our family members can help us grow and become the people that God really wants us to be. Iron sharpens iron, right? Where one man, one woman, you know, sharpens another. God can use the family to refine us by sanding down the rough edges of our life. How many have had that happen in your life? You know? We probably could all raise our hand with that. The primary purpose of the family is to care and raise for the children. That's one of the primary purposes. Even in Deuteronomy, God encourages people to teach His precepts, to teach the Word to our children. And it goes on to tell us that we do it coming in the house, going out of the house, in the house, everywhere pretty much. It's that important. We continually try to teach God's principles and His Word to our children. When I first read that, I thought, well, that's pretty cool. You know, I don't want to be a religious freak and just always cramming the Word down my children's mouth. But what I try to do is see everything that's going on in the world. You know, like Miss Mary, she'll take a picture of a flower out on the dirt road when she's walking, and then she'll make some sort of godly comment about that flower. I think that's awesome. I love it. It's seeing God in everything. We talked about that 3 or 4 weeks ago. So in every situation, everything in life, we can use these opportunities to teach our children about God. You know what I mean? What we find today, especially as being a counselor, our homes, you know, our homes are so busy. Our parents and grandparents are so distracted with things of the world. If we're not careful, we can not take the time to train and teach our children and our grandchildren. So we have to be very mindful not to be distracted by the world, right? You'll find the best soil in teaching God's principles, teaching God's Word, and helping our children grow up. The best soil is a home filled with love and laughter. And that's where I'm going this morning now. I believe that laughter is a gift from God. We often heard that the family that prays together stays together. But I'd also like to add to that, that the family that plays together stays together. God wants us to have fun with our family, especially within our home. He wants us to laugh and joke and have fun with our family. Christian comedian Ken Davis. Y'all heard that guy? He's on Waft a lot, right? I'm going to quote him here. Christian comedian Ken Davis says this, quote, "Allow laughter to flood your home and it echoes will last a lifetime." Humor is a gentle way to acknowledge our human frailty. He says, humor is a way of saying, I'm not okay, and you're not okay, and that's okay. God loves us anyway. People who are secure in their awareness of God's love and experiences forgiveness is free to laugh. Unquote. Guys, that is powerful to me. That is really powerful to me. Enjoy your children. Enjoy your grandchildren. Have some fun. Psychologists tell us that laughter and a well-rounded sense of humor are the hallmarks of high intelligence and a peace of mind. And now, yes, hang on before you throw something at me. I understand that there are things that we need to be serious about. We all know Ecclesiastes says that there's a time to weep and a time to laugh. Jesus said in Luke 6:21, he said this, God bless you who are hungry now, for you will be satisfied. And then he says, God bless you who weep now, for in due time you will laugh. That is so cool to me. I love that. Don't, please listen to me. Don't, and you young people too, please listen to me. Don't get the idea that you can't be happy and be a Christian. One of the biggest lies of the enemy that he tries to tell to young people is that if you get saved and you serve God and you start going to church, you can't have fun anymore. Isn't that right, Adam? He'll try to tell that big lie. Don't get saved. Don't serve God. You won't be able to have fun anymore. I said, I love the idea that our kids here, from the real kids to the youth, they have fun. They enjoy each other. And they learn about Jesus all at the same time. You see, Jesus knew joy. Jesus knew happiness. Jesus laughed. And Jesus cried. Proverbs 17:22 says this, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Today, scientists, not that we really need them to validate the Bible, but, you know, scientists have discovered that laughter is a miracle medicine. Proverbs 12:25 says this, worry weighs a person down, but an encouraging word cheers a person up. Now, Satan would love, listen closely now, Satan would love to distort and get us out of balance, turning us into grim prune people. Are you a prune person? The first time I heard this, I was listening to Dr. Adrian Rogers, which I love. He was a great preacher. He talked about prune people. And I thought, one day I'm going to preach on this. And that day has come. Let me quote Adrian Rogers. Here he says, Don't let some long-nosed, hard-hearted, religious prune make you think we're not supposed to have fun as Christians, unquote. Isn't that great? No? Wow, that's awesome. I love that. My experience, okay, my experience with prune people is most of them are still trapped in that law thing that we talked about last week. Most of these prune people are still trying to live by rules and regulations. And it's sad. These prune people, they still think their pious behavior earns them points with God. Come on. That's the truth. If you have a grim and solemn spirit, it's going to affect your health. It's going to affect the health of your family. Medical research has found that laughter has a profound and instantaneously effect. It has a positive effect on every organ in our body, especially our brain. Laughter reduces tension and replaces bad emotions with happy feelings. Laughter can repair and restore a person's attitude or coping skills or relationships or even their creativity. It's a good thing to laugh. Humor can enhance motivation and morale. Most of us in here remember. Who would they send on the war front? Who's one man y'all remember? The comedian. Bob Hope. Most of y'all remember that, right? Well, some of you. They would send Bob Hope, you know, to the war fronts, and he'd go, you know. And some of you middle-aged people, I remember that Robin Williams used to go a lot to the war fronts. And a lot of these comedians would go and to serve our soldiers. Make them laugh. Because it helped build up morale. Laughter helps mend a broken spirit. Laughter can help mend a broken home. In our family unit, listen closely now. In our family unit, we are building for our children and our grandchildren a museum of memories. We want them to be memories of a happy home, a home that rings with laughter and joy. You see, guys, those memories are landmarks. They keep us from getting lost. Memories bring a sense of security and belonging to a child's life. Yesterday, we went over to visit our oldest son in Tifton and the grandchildren. My grandson, Peyton, is 14. And our other grandson is 10. So Lynn and I had the idea. They're so busy. We're so busy, and everybody's so busy that we said, oh, we got to eat. So we text them and say, hey, what if we bring you breakfast over Saturday morning, hang out with you a little bit, then we take off and go do what we had to do. They're like, oh, yeah, how about a Hardy biscuit? Okay, cool. Hadn't been to Hardy's in a while. So we pull up a Hardy biscuit, say, give me 6 biscuits, whatever, and a couple hash browns, $35. I was like, wait a minute, I think you got my order mixed up. Hang on. I just ordered 6 biscuits and some hash browns. Not even drinks or anything. They said, oh, yes, sir, it's $35. Man, I was like, $35? And I even joked with the lady. I said, where did the little $1, $2 biscuits go? She said, they don't have them anymore. Anybody been to Hardy's lately and ordered a bunch of biscuits? I'm not going no more. We're going to take some canned biscuits to their house. Get Lynn to make some SOS at home and take some canned biscuits? No. I love my children and grandchildren, but $35 for a few Hardy biscuits? No. But I was trapped. I had to pay for it, you know, because they were expecting it. Still ain't got over that one. And I'll tell you, this is the truth. Now Lynn will tell you. We got all the way to their house, got opened up, and they left out 2 biscuits. I was kind of mad now. I said, I'm going back. It might be lunchtime, but they're going to give me a hamburger or something. Yeah. Anyway, I ended up not going, and bless them, whatever, you know. It's crazy, isn't it? Memories are anchors for our souls. Oh, I was going to tell you. We was over there talking to them, and our son, his name's Dallas, and we had twins. He was the first one that came out, you know, so. Call him Dallas. Wish hadn't done that one, but anyway, it's okay. He started talking about all this stuff. Oh, last week I remember when this happened. Oh, I remember when this happened. And we all started laughing. And his twin, his name is Lance, and he said, "Oh, I was telling somebody the other day how Lance jumped off that cliff." And when they were about, I don't know, probably about Ben's age, really, maybe, and not quite as big as Eli, but he's about Ben's age. And we took them to California to visit Lynn's family and went to Monterey, Monterey Bay. It's real beautiful and that kind of thing. And right there, the ocean, it kind of drops off like you in Ireland or something, you know, just, I mean, drops off. Anybody been to Monterey Bay? It just, you know what I'm saying? It's that one little spot right there is the big tourist spot. It drops off, you know, way down. The waves are crashing in. Eh. So we get, we park way over here, and the boys start walking. All of a sudden, Lance, right, he just runs. Starts running toward the edge. He gets right at the edge. We're like, wait. All of a sudden, he turns around and waves and jumps off. We're like, and I'm like from here to that door from him. And I, oh, my Lord. And we go running up there, and it's just a little ledge about this big. A little ledge with a big ledge. And he jumps off and ducks down. I mean, hey, me and Lynn will be dead and gone, and they'll still be telling that story, you know, and laughing about it. He just thought the funniest thing. I about to wore his butt out right there. I don't know. I was so mad. But then I was like, that was a good one. Right? You know, he's like, that was a good one. You got me. You got us all. So we, but that was what, maybe 30 years ago. And they still talk about it, those memories. We used to call things captivating moments. It's not the big things that really matter with the kids. It's those captivating moments, those small things that when we laugh, we have a good time, and we remember it. So memories are the anchors of our soul. My challenge this morning is perhaps it's time to re-examine the atmosphere in your home. I don't know. I'm not here to judge at all. You know, it's just something that we should all consider. What will your children and grandchildren remember? What will they remember? Times of laughter will remain long after you're gone. Like Ken said, will they be echoes of laughter to last them a lifetime? I hope so. I hope so in our life. As I said earlier, I'm going to start it out. Everyone needs to have three homes. We need a heavenly home, a church home, and a family home. Now, I've talked about a little bit about the family home. We'll talk about the heavenly home. That will require a whole other sermon. Maybe a bunch of them. Let me close this message by saying something about your church home. Can y'all hang on there with me, okay? Last week we talked about how the Sabbath rest was not just on one day, like Sunday, that the Sabbath rest is every day because we're resting in Jesus Christ now and what He's done for us. It's all about Jesus now, not just one day. Our church home is not really about this building that we call Pauline Baptist Church. It's not about the fancy sign outside. It's not about the fellowship hall, the playground, the new shelter. It's not about the color of the carpet. It's not about the nice pews. It's really not about the pastor either. You can listen to a lot better preaching on TV or YouTube or the radio. It's not really about the music. You can listen to a lot better music on TV, YouTube, or the radio. We all know that, right? I know. We need the preaching of the Word, and we need music to lift up the name of Jesus in worship. Absolutely. We need to glorify and honor God with our preaching and with our singing. Absolutely, 100%. But, everybody say but, to have an authentic church home, we need to build relationships. As I said earlier, Jesus Christ is the key to this all of it. Let me start over for you a little bit. You see, to be adopted into God's family, We need to be born again. We need to place our faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. God calls us into His family. We accept the Holy Spirit's invitation of the gift of salvation by God's grace. And by faith, we accept this gift and we become children of God. That's my whole sermon about heavenly home. We become children of God. And after our born again experience, we should begin to build our relationship with our Heavenly Father. We should. Now, if you don't build a relationship with God, you will be an immature believer. You can be an immature believer for the rest of your life. That's your choice. An immature believer has certain characteristics. They do and say certain things that immature people do. They're easily offended. They get irritable. They're fault-finding. They're easily offended. Did I say that one? Easily offended. They chase shiny things. They get a little unsatisfied about this or that and gone. That's the characteristics of an immature believer. It's a person who never really developed their relationship with God and never really growed up spiritually. So how do we do this? How do we build our relationship with God? And that is a whole sermon too. But I'm going to cover it in four things real quick. Here is the key. And I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but I got to say this. Here's the key. The key really is this. We spend time personally with God. We have to spend time with God. We fellowship with Him. And I call it the four-legged stool. The four, you got a stool, it's got four legs, you can sit on it, you have a pretty good foundation. So this is the foundation, the basic foundation of building a relationship with God. And here it is, and you all know this, but this is my job, my responsibility to tell you again. The four-legged stool. Spend time in personal prayer. Spend time in personal Bible study. Spend time in personal worship. And then spend time fellowshipping together with other believers. If you do those things, if you're consistent with them, those four things, you will begin to grow up. You'll begin to mature and mature and mature. Now, I said all that to say this. God encourages us to build our church home the same way. The same way. We should gather together for prayer. We should gather together for Bible study and hearing the Word. We should gather together for corporate worship. We should gather together and fellowship with each other. To have a healthy church home, you need to spend time with each other. Here's what I want you to prepare for. Here we go. Ready? Sunday school is a great place to do that. Wednesday night Bible study is a great place to do that. Sunday morning service is a great place to do that. Special functions that we have at the church, that is a great place to do that. But, if you really want to build a solid relationship foundation, I mean the foundation where the roots go deep, deep down, we need to spend time with each other outside the walls of this church building. If we really want to take Pauline Baptist Church to a whole nother level in spiritual maturity and everything, we really need to build relationships and get to know each other personally outside these church walls. Find out what people like to do for fun and get involved with them. Get to know each other on a personal level. Some of you folks have been playing dominoes at somebody else's house. Lynn and I were invited 3 or 4 weeks ago. I missed your call too, Mr. Don. Sorry. Well, me and Lynn went over to Don and Marilyn's house and Mary Beth and Glenn and Melissa. Sorry, I'm struggling with names. I know your names like I know my own name. So we're playing dominoes. I'd never really played dominoes. Mexican Train. Is that it? Mexican Train. Yeah, sorry, I'm being politically correct there. It's Hispanic, traveling, boxcar, motivational. Anyway, whatever. It was Mexican Train. And it was a lot of fun. And when we've been talking, we want to do it again, you know. And we were over at their house, we had snacks, we got together, and it was great. So a lot of you guys are doing this already, you know, and you get to know each other more on a personal level. A lot of you guys are involved in sports. The kids are playing sports, and you're going to ball games and soccer games and swim and all this, and people go and fellowship and hang out and doing things like that. That's great. I love it. That's what we're talking about. Build relationships. Really get to know each other. Shopping. Don't ask me to go shopping unless you're going to go buy something, a gun or something, or some fishing stuff. But you ladies, you know, y'all go shopping. I think that's great. Go hang out, do stuff together. Hobbies. Some of you have hobbies that you could share. You know, I'm thinking about buying me one of them little boats. You know, I can't get a bass boat, but you know, I'm gonna buy me one of them remote control boats. I mean, you can spend thousands of dollars on those. I'm talking about like maybe $150. You know, I don't want to get that boat out there. You know, and get in a little pond that we live and ride that boat around. Any kids like boats? Did I tell you about shooting the geese? No, I didn't tell you about that. Did I tell you about that? The grandchildren? No, I'll tell you another story about that one. It was slingshots, okay? Little plastic pellets. And we're pretending like they're like Navy ships coming in, you know, and they're in squadrons. And we were bombing them. Landing in front of them. We weren't really hitting them. So, come on, don't be stoning me. It was fun. Little plastic pellets. I said too much, Adam, right? Hobbies. Service work. Doing service work with each other, going on missions trips, you know. When you go on those missions trips, man, you learn about each other. You learn. But, you know, make an effort. Everybody hear me? Make an effort to say, hey, let's go to lunch today. Let's go out to lunch. Let's come over to my house and let's eat. Let's make an effort to go do something. Let's go fishing, you know. Me and Paul do a lot of fishing. It's too hot now. I don't like fishing that much. But just make an effort, a concentrated effort to invite people to go do things. Go do things. You get together and do stuff. Amen? If we do this, I truly believe that we can continue to grow and build a solid, fulfilling church home. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we do appreciate our church home here. I do, Lynn and I do. We appreciate that they are already doing these things. So I just pray that you'll help us be creative so that we can do more. We can get to know people more, especially personally, what's going on in their lives. But Father, we want to stop right now and give an opportunity for someone who has never been adopted into the family of God. Someone who has never made that decision to say, you know what? I'm going to get saved. I want to make sure that I'm going to heaven. I'm going to settle it today. And I'd like to ask if you are that person, that you either raise your hand. If everybody's got their head bowed and eyes closed, you raise your hand, I'd be glad to pray with you. Or you can come forward to the altar here, and I'll be glad to pray with you. You can sell it today and give your life to Christ. Maybe you'd like to pray that prayer sitting right in your pew. You can get saved right there. If that's you, I'd ask you to just pray with me. And just say this prayer with me. Just say, God, I repent of my sins. I place my faith in the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. God, the best way I know how, I ask you to come into my life. And from this day forward, I'm going to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.